Please recite further Surah Fatiha for the Isal Sawab of the martyrs of Gilgit, Baltistan, and the martyrs of Bahrain, and the martyrs of other places who are being killed without any purpose. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نعت موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود فطر الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته وودد بالصخور ميدان أرضه والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه ونور عرشه أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبا القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين ولعنة الدائمة الباقية على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم ومكفر شيعتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد وهو أصدق القائلين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاجعل لي من لدنك وليا يرثني ويرث من آل يعقوب صلوات. Quran is the book of guidance as well as book of law. If we look at one aspect of the law which has been covered in great detail in the Quran, and it has been explained also in great detail in the Sunnah of the Prophet, we will be able to see that the law of inheritance has been covered in several ayahs of the Quran. The Quran does not leave any doubt whatsoever that this aspect of the law has been left in vague so that people until the Day of Judgment may go on fighting with each other for the sake of inheritance. Therefore, the law of inheritance has been expounded, has been explained, and has been specified in the very verses of the Quran. And this is one of the verses of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says from the viewpoint of Janabi Yaqub, فَجَعَلْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّنْ and appoint for me from yourself inheritor, وَلِيَّنْ يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ, who inherits me, who will inherit me and will inherit from the progeny of Yaqub. Now, Yaqub is the Paygamber of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaqub is a prophet. This is one of the verse which Janabi Siddiqa Tahira Fatima Tuz-Zahra salawatullah wa salamullahi alayha recited in the court of Abu Bakr in order to fight for her right. This is one of the verses, and other verses also she recited to prove that Rasulullah had left Fadak for her. Now mind you, Fadak was not an inheritance. Fadak was a hiba. Fadak was a gift that Rasulullah Khuda in his lifetime had left it for his daughter. When? What is the occasion? The occasion is this, that Jibreel alayhi salam comes and after conveying salutation or salam to Rasulullah says, Ya Rasulullah, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. He brings with him the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Muhammad, give the near relatives their right. وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. Now, when the command is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ordering the Prophet to give to the near relatives their right, that means that it is a gift that Rasulullah Khuda is being ordered to give. And Jibreel alayhi salam also explains the purpose why Allah has commanded him to give the land of Fadak. Now the land of Fadak was a very big land in which whenever there used to be the spoils of war, after the war there used to be booties and the spoils of war, Rasulullah Khuda used to distribute those spoils of war between his companions. Now, according to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah gave the land of Fadak with what justification? The justification also is provided by Jibreel alayhi salam, that because Khadijat al-Kubra salamullahi alayha had spent all her wealth. Imagine what was the wealth of Khadijat al-Kubra. She was Malikatul Arab. She was the queen of the Arabs of that time, the richest lady of that time, and she possessed so much wealth, and everything was sacrificed for the sake of Islam, for the sake of this ummah of the Prophet, who did not protect her right. Because she spent everything selflessly, sincerely, faithfully, for the love of Allah, for the sake of the religion of Allah, so this is the compensation that Allah was giving, that the land of Fadak has to be given to Janab Fatima Zahra as a compensation of what Khadija had done. And in the lifetime of the Prophet, Fadak was already in possession of Janab Siddiqa Tahira. Not only this, but the income that used to come from Fadak used to be distributed between or among the needy Muslims. Janab Siddiqa Tahira did not build any palace. Otherwise, there was a potential of building palace, but she didn't. She did not live in any luxury, nor did any of her children or any of her progeny after her enjoyed the luxuries and wealth of this world. No, this was not the purpose for which Fadak was being given. Fadak was being given as a amanat to Janab Siddiqa Tahira, because there is nobody in the kainat, in the whole of cosmos, in the whole of universe, who is more truthful than Janab Siddiqa Tahira after the Prophet. Now, Allah knows that she is going to give the rights of the people to them. She is not going to usurp even a single penny from that. Allah knows that she is the most trustworthy. Therefore, Sa'd Fadak is being given during the lifetime of the Prophet to Janabe Siddiqa Tahira. Here, when she comes to fight for her right, she comes to know that the new caliph who has come in the position of power, he has dismissed the keepers of the land. The keepers of the land who were there to guard over the land, he has dismissed them summarily, under the pretext that now this land is the property of the state. So that means a usurpation on another usurpation. There was another usurpation on already an already original usurpation, which was the usurpation of Khilafat. This is another usurpation. Not only this, there is a third usurpation, that the land that was the land of the state in Khaybar, in which Rasulullah had commanded that the income that comes from the land of Khaybar, 1/5 of it, which is khums, which is 20%, should be paid to Janabe Siddiqa Tahira. And that was her right, because khums is the right of the Sadat. Now, Rasulullah Khuda has made an arrangement, these three arrangements, before leaving this world, and all the three things had been usurped by the new governors or new rulers of the Islamic State. How many days has passed before after the death of the prophet? Only a few days have passed. This is regarding the fact that Janab Siddiqa Tahira was still in grief, and she had to come out of her home and go in the court of the caliph. Now here, the khutbah that she recites in front of Muhajirin and Ansar is such an eloquent khutbah that that khutbah is a masterpiece in Arabic language. It is said that the Sadat from the progeny of Janabe Zayd Shahid, who was the son of Imam Zainul Abideen, used to memorize this khutbah. Not only they used to memorize the khutbah, they used to make their children memorize this khutbah so that it passes from one generation to another, and the khutbah is preserved in its pristine form. Now this is the khutbah in which Janab Siddiqa Tahira is fighting with the caliph. Why was she in need of the land? She was not in need of the land. She is, as a matter of fact, under the pretext of her demand, she is fighting for the wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa sallam. She did mention in the khutbah, and thereafter as well, that I remind you about the Ghadir. Have you forgotten what had happened in your Ghadir? Have you forgotten that you had given a covenant, you had given a bay'at in Ghadir? Why have you forgotten? What enmity have you got against my cousin Ali bin Abi Talib? When Janab Umme Salima comes to console her, she tells Umme Salima, my heart is full of grief. My heart is bleeding for two things. That something that has been given to me in his lifetime by the Prophet has been denied to me. Not only this, I am being falsified in the open court. You are falsifying the most truthful lady ever created since the creation began. In the open court, she is presenting ayahs after ayahs from the Quran to disprove the fact that the Prophet cannot possibly say what the Caliph was alleging or claiming, that he had heard the Prophet saying, "Nahnu ma'shar al-anbiya la nuwarith," that we, the prophets of God, we do not give anything inheritance, and we do not get inheritance. And she says, look, here Yaqub alayhi salam is praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that give me a waris. Give me a waris. The word has been used, waris. Yarithuni wa yarithu min ali Yaqub. Who will inherit me and inherit the progeny of Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam was prophet of God, and he is praying to Allah that I want a waris. That means the prophet of God wants to leave wirtha, wants to leave a will, wants to leave something of value for his inheritors. He said no, but the prophet has said, and I have heard, and he took oath that I have heard the prophet saying that we do not leave any wirtha. What we leave is ilm and hikmat, that means knowledge and wisdom. Now you people are people of intelligence. If somebody is to die, and if he is to leave a will, can anybody think for a moment that that marhum is going to leave in his will that I, apart from my land and business and cash and bank accounts, I'm also leaving the degrees that I have acquired. My BA I leave to my fulan son, and my MA I leave to my another son. Does it make any sense that the Prophet is going to leave his ilm, inheritance, and his wisdom? Wisdom differs from one person to another. Wisdom is not something that is tangible. Wisdom is something which is intangible. Ilm is something which is within you. You cannot place any monetary value on your ilm. You cannot place any monetary value on your wisdom. What sort of nonsensical claim was coming from the court of the caliph? And here Janab Siddiqa Tahira says that look at what Allah is saying. Wawaritha Sulaiman Dawood. Sulaiman also was the prophet of Allah, and Dawood was the prophet of Allah. And Allah says that Sulaiman became the waris of Dawood. Now are you going to falsify the Quran? The Quran says, Kutiba alaykum, ida hadara ahadakum al maut. إن ترك خيرا الوصية للوالدين والأقربين بالمعروف. Allah is commanding you that I have made incumbent wajib upon you that if somebody of you approaches death, that he leaves the best of wasiyat. إن ترك خيرا الوصية. And you are saying no, the prophets do not leave any wasiyat. And here the Quran is commanding the prophet, and the prophet is spending his lifetime ordering the people that please, please do not die until you leave wasiyat. So much so that it is said that if anybody sleeps in peace without leaving a wasiyat under his pillow for 3 days, that means his faith is not complete. All these recommendations about the wasiyat is there in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet, and you are saying that no, the Prophet has said, and the Prophet in front of whom has told you? In front of whom? Now, for example, take this land in which there is this Masjid Hussein. This land, if somebody comes and said that this land belongs to me, you all get away, go out. Then we have got documentary proof, legal documentary proofs that the land belongs to the Lesser Jamaat. All of you are witnesses that you have attended this place since its inauguration, and that you testify that this place belongs to Lesser Jamaat. Now, if somebody claims that this land belongs to me, then he has to go to the court and bring his own witnesses, bring his own proofs. Now, if you are claiming that Fadak belongs to the Muslim Ummah, bring the proof. Here she has got a proof. Here she has got the proof. She has got witnesses. Who are your witnesses, Fatima? My witness is Ali bin Abi Talib. My witness is Umme Ayman. My witness is Asma bint Umays. Now, the witnesses are there. In front of us, the Prophet had said that Fadak belongs to Fatima. There is no question about it. Ali bin Abi Talib. What is the status of Ali bin Abi Talib? Ali, ana wa Ali min nurin wahid. The very origin of the Prophet comes from the genes of Ali, and Ali's genes come from the genes of the Prophet. To testify that Ali has not heard or his witness is not acceptable is like falsifying the Prophet himself. Like falsifying Ali ma'al Quran, wal Quran ma'a Ali. Ali ma'al haq, wal haq ma'a Ali. If you are falsifying Ali, that means you are falsifying the haq. If you are falsifying Ali, means you are falsifying the Quran. You are falsifying the Quran. All right, they say, no, Ali is the party to the dispute, so we can't possibly accept his witness. Have you got anybody else? Or Ayman comes and says, I besiege you in the name of Allah. Have you heard or not the Prophet of Allah saying that Ayman and Asma bin Umays are the ladies of the Jannat? They said, yes, we have heard. How can the ladies of the Jannat tell lies and then go in the Jannat? How can it be possible? It may be possible in your... I mean, where am I going? Here, Ali bin Abi Talib, his witness is not acceptable. Asma bin Umays, her witness is not acceptable. And Umme Ayman, they said, they brought another excuse. They said, she is not after all an Arab. She is a non-Arab. We only accept the witnesses of an Arab. So that means that you are taking a reverse gear to take back the Ummah to Jahiliyyah, where there was a distinction between Arabs and non-Arabs. Islam came to abolish this distinction between Arabs and non-Arabs. You see, Islam said that the only distinction which is recognizable in the eyes of Allah is taqwa. If you have got taqwa, no matter whether you are even a slave from Abyssinia, you have got the same status as the nobleman of Quraysh. We do not distinguish between people on the basis of race or color. You see, now Janab Siddiqa Tahira has presented how many ayahs of the Quran? 3 ayahs of the Quran. One is the one in which Yaqub is praying for a waris. Another in which Allah says, Wabaritha Sulaymanu Dawood. Both are the prophets of Allah. The third ayat in which Allah is commanding his prophet to leave wirtha. How can the prophet command his ummatis to leave wasiyat? And he dies without leaving a wasiyat. And what an insult to the dignity of the Prophet this is. If you come to think about it, you see, when I go for Namaz Jum'ah, last Jum'ah, somebody came after the Jum'ah and he said, there are people, well, what is the reason? He asked me, what is the reason that there are so many deviant groups among the Sunnis and among the Shias? What is the reason? I said, see, whatever deviant groups are emerging among the Sunnis and the Shias, first of all, they will come and they will try to measure your pulse. How much Quran do you know? They will measure your pulse. How much is their knowledge of the Quran within you? Do you pray or you don't pray? Or you find 110 excuses to exempt yourself from the prayers? What is the situation? Who is to be blamed for all these deviant groups? Who is to be blamed? We are to be blamed. We have created such a huge gap between us and the Quran. We have created a huge gap between us and the Salah. And Janab Siddiqa Tahira says that وَجَعَلَ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْزِيهًا لَكُمْ عَنِ الْكِبَرِ. Allah has made Salat incumbent upon you so that He saves you from pride and arrogance. Why? These deviant groups, I can give you in writing. I'm speaking on the member of Hussein. I can give you in writing. You will be able to see how much arrogance and pride is there. First of all, they are not going to pray. P-R-E-Y, not P-R-A-Y. They are not going to pray on somebody who has got some knowledge of the Quran. They are not going to pray on somebody who is adherent to the fundamental duty of Islam. The first of it and the foremost of it and the most important of it is Salah. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far salawatullahi wa salamullahi alayhi. Says, my father left for me a will on his deathbed. That means our sixth imam is leaving a wasiyat to our seventh imam on his deathbed. And he says, Ya Bunay, our shafa'at will not be for those who look upon salah as an insignificant thing. I mean, they may be praying. They may be praying without any shade of doubt. But they do not give priority to Salah as they give to other things. That means if you consider Salah to be less important, that means that you will not get the Shafa'at of Ahlul Bayt. Rasulullah says, if somebody comes on the day of judgment and he has not been praying, I'm going to turn away my face from him. That means he is not going to get Shafa'at of Rasulullah. How many people of us stand a chance even to go one step forward in the mahshar without the Shafa'at of Rasulullah or the Shafa'at of Ahlul Bayt? Can somebody look at his own deeds and testify? Who is to be blamed for all these divisions? Look at the fitna and fasad and evil doing and corruption that has enveloped the entire Islamic world. Why? Janab Siddiqa Tahira mentions in her khutbah. She said that you have started a zulm and you have started it with the bid'at Rasul, with the part of Rasulullah. Now be prepared for it. Now you are going to get discords. You are going to get tyrannies. You are going to get despotism. You are going to get division. You are going to get fitna. And this is exactly what has happened in Islam from that time up to now or not. Can you imagine that this lady is forecasting for us and she is telling them that the main purpose of that fitna which is going to come and which is going to surround you, besiege you from all nooks and corner, is what you are doing this today to me. When Umm Salama comes and tells Janab Siddiqa Tahira to consult, Janab Siddiqa Tahira says, my heart is wounded for two things. That they have done such an injustice to Abul Hasan. Despite the fact that they had given bay'at to Abul Hasan in Ghadir. And they have looted my property. They have deprived me of the property of my father. Now that was a property of Rasulullah which he had given to Siddiq Atara. When Janab Siddiq Atara saw in the court of Abu Bakr that he is depriving her of the gift of Hiba which Rasulullah Khuda had given, now she takes up her case in the form of irf, that this is an inheritance. And the inheritance she was able to prove beautifully from the Quran itself, from the ayahs of the Quran itself. From the ayahs of the Quran. That means that you are presenting a hadith and you haven't got a single witness. If I told you that this land belongs to somebody else, that somebody else, the courts are going to demand from that somebody else to bring documentary proofs, to bring witnesses who would swear that this land does not belong to Rest al-Jamaat, it belongs to him. This is the qaida, this is the rule, isn't it, everywhere in the world. Now here, they turn the rule upside down. They said, no, you are going to bring witness, and that witness which is acceptable to us, not the witness that you have got. In any way, the intention was to commit such an injustice. And if we are not able to understand why we are facing so many afflictions in which thousands of people, innocent people, are dying. Can you imagine the barbarity of this massacre that took place in Gilgit, Baltistan, that they were not only satisfied in shooting innocent people, including women and children, they also went and mutilated their bodies. They threw acid on their faces. So that means Qatilana Hussein, even in for 1400 years after that time, are giving a documentary evidence or giving proof that who has killed Hussein. Didn't they do the same thing in Karbala? They are showing what sort of genes they are carrying and what sort of blood that is flowing in their veins. Today also Qatilana Hussein are giving their identity in front of the world. Here Janab Siddiq Tahara comes home totally broken. All her appeal to Muhajireen and Ansar did not attract any word of sympathy for her. She comes and Imam Ali was in the house, and she looks at Imam Ali and says, "Oh Ali, you have covered yourself as the foetus covers itself. You have worn the covering as the foetus wears the covering. You have retired at home. You used to be the man who used to cut the feathers of their heroes. Today, these small people have come and are trying to insult your dignity and insult your wife." Imam Ali says, "Bint Rasul, what do you want from me?" She said, "Go Ali, go out and demand for your right. I have done what I could. You go and demand for your right." Imam Ali comes out. Muazzin says, "Allahu Akbar," until he comes to the point where he says, "Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah." Imam Ali returns back. He said, "Ya Bint Rasul, do you want this name of Ashhadu Anna Muhammad Rasulullah? Do you want the name of your father to survive in Adhan until the day of judgment?" She said, "Yes, by Allah, I want the name of my father to survive until the day of judgment." He said, "Then, Ya Bint Rasul, then accept whatever injustice has done to us. Bear with patience, sabr, and tahammul. Because this is not the time of demanding the right. This is not the time." Now there is one thing that people are keep on asking, that all right, the time of the first pass, the time of the second pass, the time of the third pass, but Imam Ali became a ruler thereafter. He became a caliph thereafter. It was possible for him to regain the fadak. Somebody asked Imam Ali in his time, "Ya Ali, now you are in power. Why don't you take the control of fadak, which belongs to Janabe Siddiq-e-Tahira?" Imam Ali says, "Because both the Zalim and Mazloom are already in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is deciding between them. Ali does not interfere in the function of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." You see, look at the beautiful reply that he is giving. For all times to come, If anybody comes to tell you, and there are these people who are barking, literally I mean barking day and night on their media. They do not know the head and tail of what they are saying. They haven't got for, as their leader did not have any documentary proof, they don't have anything. Baba, prove what you are saying. Bring for us the evidence in writing. Bring it for us the sources. No, they haven't got any sources. They've got only their tongue, which they have left it loose to go left and right and to make discoveries and to commit sins. These people, the true followers, the sincere followers, they haven't got any argument based on intellectual discourse at all, because their mind hasn't got the capacity of dwelling into the issues from the viewpoint of scholarship or intellectuality. It is as simple as this. Now, when somebody tells Imam Ali, this is the reply of Imam Ali, that if I go and take the control of Fadak, and already Allah is judging between the person who has been oppressed and the oppressor, both are in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means I'll be interfering in the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the zalim himself comes forward and gives Fadak to Janab Siddiq Tahira. And this in itself proves that zul had been committed. The person who had committed zulm, the confession comes during the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. When Umar ibn Aziz returns back Fadak to Imam al-Baqir, and some say to the brothers of Imam al-Baqir from the progeny of Zayd al-Shahid, because it is from the progeny of Zayd al-Shahid that they presented a case in front of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Then, after Janab Fatima Zahra, look how Fadak changes hands. Muawiyah comes and takes Fadak and gives it to Marwan. This is for you. As if it was his father's property. To Marwan. Marwan gives it to his sons. Then they come to Bani Abbas. Safah comes and takes the possession of Fadak and gives it to Bani Fatima. Then Mansur al-Dawanqi comes and takes back Fadak and says that this is my property. And in this way, the Fadak was changing hands from one dynasty to another. Then comes the time of Mamun Rashid. And there was a case which was brought in the court of Mamun Rashid, and Mamun Rashid had to call ulama from different parts of Islamic world and told them that you sit, and there is a case now in front of me whereby Bani Fatima are claiming that this was the property of their grandmother. And the ulama sit, as a matter of fact, in the court of Ma'mun, and one after another they present proof that these are the fada'il Fatima Zahra. Fatima Zahra cannot possibly just speak untrue things, cannot possibly speak lies. Fatima is Siddiqa Tahira. Quran is bearing witness to her truthfulness. Then they speak about the... Now all is being done in the court of an enemy, mind you, the enemy of Ahlul Bayt. That the Fazail Janabi Fatima Zahra, of Janabi Amirul Mu'mineen, of Janabi Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, is spoken in the court of Ma'mun, and accordingly they decide that no, actually the zulm had been committed, and the Fadak has to be returned back to Bani Fatima. Then, after that, again Fadak was usurped. And in this way, you'll be able to see the history of Fadak itself is very interesting. That these people started playing games. Playing games with what? Playing games with the Quran. Playing games with the Sunnah of the Prophet. Playing games with the respectability of the Prophet. Playing games with the dignity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salatu wassalam salawat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد إن الذين يؤذون الله ورسوله لعنهم الله في الدنيا والآخرة وأعد لهم عذابا مهينا صلوات سورہ مبارکہ احزاب کی یہ آیہ کریمہ ہے جس میں خداوند کریم ارشاد فرما رہا ہے جو لوگ اللہ اور رسول کو اذیت پہنچاتے ہیں خدا ان پر اس دنیا میں اور آخرت میں لعنت کرتا ہے، اور قیامت کے دن ان کے لیے بہت دردناک عذاب معین کیا گیا ہے۔ یہاں پر توجہ چاہتا ہوں کہ یؤذون، جو ورڈ ہے اس کا روٹ ورڈ ہے اذیت۔ یہ قرآن، اب حدیث کی طرف آئیے۔ فاطمۃ بضعۃ منی فمن آذاها فقد آذانی، جس نے فاطمہ میرا جز ہے، جس نے فاطمہ کو اذیت پہنچائی اس نے مجھے اذیت پہنچائی۔ دونوں کا روٹ ورڈ ایک ہے، اذیت۔ وہاں پر جو لوگ اذیت پہنچاتے ہیں، قرآن کہہ رہا ہے، رسول اللہ کہہ رہے ہیں کہ جو فاطمہ کو اذیت، جس نے فاطمہ کو اذیت پہنچائی اس نے مجھے اذیت پہنچائی، جس نے مجھے اذیت پہنچائی اس نے اللہ کو اذیت پہنچائی۔ تو اس کی سزا قرآن نے سنایا کہ وہ کون ہیں کہ جو اذیت پہنچانے والے ہیں، ان کا حشر کیا ہوگا۔ تو حشر یہ ہوگا کہ خداوند کریم یہ کہہ رہا ہے، لعنہم اللہ فی الدنیا والآخرہ وعد لہم عذابا مہینا، کہ خدا ان پر اس زندگی میں، دنیاوی زندگی میں بھی لعنت کر رہا ہے اور آخرت کی زندگی میں بھی لعنت کر رہا ہے، اور ان کے لیے بہت بڑا عذاب مقرر کیا گیا ہے۔ اب آپ ہی فیصلہ کیجئے۔ یہاں پر دو جملوں میں میں نے آپ کے سامنے پورا مقدمہ رکھ دیا ہے۔ جس نے فاطمہ زہرا کے دل کو دکھایا، جس نے فاطمہ زہرا کے حق کو حرب کیا، جس نے من گرت حدیثیں پیش کیں کہ جن کا کوئی راوی نہیں تھا، یعنی اگر رسول خدا کچھ کہنا چاہتے ہیں اہل خانہ سے اور ان کے حق کے مطالب کہنا چاہ رہے ہیں، تو وہ گھر میں جو صاحب حق ہیں ان کو کہیں گے یا باہر نکل کر کسی اجنبی کو کہیں گے؟ یعنی آپ فیصلہ کیجئے، آپ کی عقل کیا کہہ رہی ہے؟ کہ مثال کے طور پر آپ اپنے بال بچوں کے لیے وصیت نامہ چھوڑ رہے ہیں، تو عقل انسانی یہ کہہ رہی ہے کہ آپ اپنے بال بچوں کو براہ راست بتلائیں گے کہ آپ کی وصیت کیا ہے۔ ایسا نہیں ہے کہ ان کو پتہ بھی نہیں ہو، ان کو خبر بھی نہیں ہو کہ اس وصیت میں کیا رکھا جا رہا ہے یا کیا شروط ہیں، کہ یا مرحوم کے کیا ارادے ہیں، اور وہ جا کر باہر والوں کو بتلائے کہ یہ میری وصیت ہے۔ ملاحظہ کیجئے، قانون، عین اسلامی قانون یہ کہہ رہا ہے کہ اگر کوئی ادعا کر رہا ہے تو اس کو چاہیے کہ دو وٹنسز پیش کریں، دو گواہ پیش کریں، اور اگر دو گواہ پیش نہیں کر سکتا تو پھر قسم کھائے، اللہ کی قسم کھائے، اور پھر وہ قسم جو ہے وہ اس کی ذمت پہ رہے گی اور اس کی سزا یوم محشر اس کو ضرور ملے گی۔ لیکن نہ گواہ تھا ان کے پاس، نہ انہوں نے قسم کھائی، اور کوئی بیز ہی نہیں تھا اس کے بل بوتے پر انہوں نے صدیق طاہرہ کو جھٹلایا۔ دیکھیں کہ حقیقت، قرآنی حقیقت عقل انسانی خود ثابت کر رہی ہے۔ خداوند کریم نے ایک ایسا میکینزم چھوڑا ہے کہ جہاں پر قرآنی حقیقتیں انسانی عقل اور فہم سے ہی ثابت ہوتی ہیں۔ ملاحظہ کیجئے آپ کہ ہم دن اور رات آیت تطہیر پڑھتے ہیں، انما یرید اللہ لیذہب عنکم الرجس اہل البیت ویطہرکم تطہیرا۔ اب یہاں پر کتنی ڈیبیٹ چل رہی ہے، کتنی کتابیں لکھی جا رہی ہیں، کتنے مقالے لکھے جا رہے ہیں، کتنی آرگیومنٹس ہو رہی ہیں، ڈسکورسز ہو رہی ہیں کہ اہل بیت میں کون شامل ہے، ازواج نبی شامل ہیں یا نہیں ہیں۔ ایک سیدھی سی بات ہے، نہ یہاں جان نہ شرق کی طرف جانے کی ضرورت ہے، نہ غرب کی طرف جانے کی ضرورت ہے، نہ کچھ سرفوری کرنے کی ضرورت ہے، نہ اپنے دل کو دکھانے کی ضرورت ہے۔ سیدھی بات ہے کہ انما، یہ پوری جو آیت ہے انما سے لے کر انما یرید اللہ لیذہب عنکم الرجس اہل البیت ویطہرکم تطہیرا، یہاں تک آپ گنیں کہ کتنے لیٹرز ہیں اس میں، کتنے لیٹرز ہیں۔ اگر آپ گننا شروع کریں گے، یہ آیت تطہیر ہے جس کے اندر اہل بیت شامل ہیں۔ کس کے اہل بیت؟ نبی کے اہل بیت۔ رسول کے اہل بیت، محمد کے اہل بیت، اہل بیت شامل ہیں. تو اب مجھے یہ پوچھنا ہے، اس آیت کو یہ مجھے پوچھنا ہے، قرآن کو پوچھنا ہے کہ یہ اہل بیت میں شامل کون ہے، کون شامل ہے؟ تو اگر آپ نے یہ آیت کے لیٹرز کو گنا تو کتنے لیٹرز نکلتے ہیں؟ 47 لیٹرز نکلتے ہیں، 47 لیٹرز نکلتے ہیں. اب آئیے 12 اماموں کی طرف. یہاں پر اہل بیت نبی میں آئے تطہیر کی مصداق، یعنی جہاں پر خداوند کریم اگر صرف حسن اور حسین کو شامل کرنا چاہتا تو کہتا ابنا اہما، یعنی دو ہستیوں کا پلورل استعمال کرتا کہ جس کی امکانیت عربی زبان میں موجود ہے، اس کی امکانیت عربی زبان میں موجود ہے. لیکن یہاں پر دو کا پلورل استعمال نہیں ہو رہا ہے. وبنوها هم فاطمہ تو وابوها وبعلها وبنوها، اس کے زیادہ بیٹے، یعنی دو سے زیادہ بیٹے. بنو استعمال جو ہوتا ہے دو سے زیادہ کے لیے جمع کا استعمال ہے عربک لینگویج میں. ابنا اہما یا یہاں پر وبنوها، تو بہت سارے بیٹے، یعنی آئے تطہیر میں بہت سارے بیٹے. تو آپ شروع کریں کہ اہل بیت نبی میں کون ہیں؟ پہلے امام کون ہیں؟ علی کے لیٹرز کتنے ہیں؟ 3. فاطمہ کے لیٹرز کتنے ہیں؟ 4. حسن کے لیٹرز کتنے ہیں؟ 3. حسین کے لیٹرز 4. پھر اس کے بعد حسین کا جو بیٹا ہے علی ابن حسین، علی یعنی پہلا نام لیجئے، امام زین العابدین، علی، محمد، جعفر، موسیٰ، علی، محمد، علی، حسن اور محمد، آخری حجت امام صاحب العصر و زمان. پہلے سے لے کر 12 تک اور جناب فاطمہ زہرا کا شمار کیجئے، ان کے لیٹرز کو گنیے، اگزیکٹلی 47 ہے، اگزیکٹلی 47 ہے. اب یہاں پر آرگیومنٹ کی کوئی گنجائش نہیں، خود قرآن نے اور عقل انسانی نے یہ ثابت کر دیا کہ آئے تطہیر کا شمار صرف ان لوگوں کے لیے ہے اور کسی کے لیے نہیں ہے. تو یہ ہیں فاطمہ زہرا. کیا شان ہے جناب فاطمہ زہرا کی، کیا شان ہے کہ وہ فاطمہ زہرا جب آخری وقت قریب آیا ہے تو جناب امیر المومنین کو یہ کہہ رہی ہیں، یا علی تم مجھے گواہی دو، میں نے تم سے کبھی جھوٹ بولا؟ میں نے تم سے کبھی خیانت کی؟ تمہاری دل آزاری کی؟ کبھی میں نے تمہارا دل دکھایا؟ کہا واللہ اے بنت رسول، نہ تم نے مجھ سے کوئی خیانت کی نہ میرا دل دکھایا ہے، تم ہمیشہ مخلص رہی، تم میری آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک رہی، دل کا چین رہی ہے. اے بنت رسول تم اس طرح باتیں کیوں کر رہی ہو؟ کہا یا علی اب وہ وقت قریب آ رہا ہے کہ مجھے اس دنیا سے جانا ہے، مجھے یہ بشارت دی گئی ہے کہ یا علی اب میں اس دنیا میں تمہارا ساتھ چھٹے گا، اب میں اس دنیا سے جا رہی ہوں. یا علی دیکھو بچے چھوٹے ہیں، بچوں کو ماں کی ضرورت ہوتی ہے، میری بہن زینب کی بیٹی امامہ میرے بچوں سے بہت پیار کرتی ہے، یا علی میں چاہتی ہوں کہ تم امامہ سے نکاح کر لو تاکہ میرے بچوں کو ماں کا پیار ملے. اے علی کبھی میرے بچوں سے خطا ہو تو ان سے ان کو جھڑکنا نہیں، ان پہ غصہ نہ کرنا. اے علی کبھی اپنا ہاتھ میرے بچوں نہ اٹھانا. کہا اے بنت رسول یہ تمہاری امانت کو میں سنبھالوں گا. یا علی جس نے میری دل آزاری کی ہے وہ میرے جنازے پر نہ آئے، میری نماز جنازہ نہ پڑھیں، ان کو دور رکھنا. جناب صدیق طاہر نے وصیت کی, میں پوری شہادت پڑھنا نہیں چاہتا, لیکن وہ وقت آ گیا جبکہ جناب صدیق طاہرہ کو جناب علی مرتضیٰ نے غسل کفن دے دیا اور اب جنازہ تیار ہو گیا. تو امام علی نے بلایا اپنے بچوں کو, اے حسن اور حسین, اے زینب ام کلثوم, آؤ اپنی ماں کی آخری زیارت کر لو کہ اس کے بعد اب زیارت نصیب نہیں ہوگی. حسن اور حسین آئے, ماں کی چھاتی سے پل پٹ گئے. یہاں پر علی مرتضیٰ کہہ رہے ہیں, جناب صدیق طاہرہ کی چیخ نکلی, بندے کفن ٹوٹے, حسن اور حسین کو اپنے سینے سے لپٹایا. جبرائیل نے آواز دی, علی حسین, حسن اور حسین کو اپنی ماں سے دور کرو, یہاں پہ گروہ ملائکہ میں تلا تو مچ گیا ہے, ملائکہ رو رہے ہیں. میں کہتا ہوں اے جناب فاطمہ, آج آپ نے حسین کی گریا کو برداشت نہیں کیا, وہ وقت کیا ہوگا جب یہی حسین ہوگا, یہی رات کا اندھیرا ہوگا. اٹھائیسویں رجب کی شب ہوگی, رات کے اندھیرے میں حسین آپ کی لحد پر آیا ہوگا. اے ماں, آخری زیارت کے لیے آیا ہوں, اب اس کے بعد آپ کا حسین آپ کی زیارت کو نہیں آ سکے گا. ہائے, اس وقت آپ کے دل پر کیا گزری ہوگی. شاید جناب صدیق طاہرہ یہ کہیں کہ کیا پتا یہ یہاں سے حسین جائے گا, وہاں سے لحد سے میں اٹھ کر ساتھ دوں گی. اور اس کا ثبوت کیا ہے, شب عاشور, یہی اندھیری رات, اندھیری رات حسین آگے بڑھ رہے ہیں کہ یکائے کسی کے چیخنے کی آواز آئی. حسین واپس لوٹے, بہن نے پوچھوایا, بھیا یہ دردناک آواز کس کی ہے, جب سے ہم نے مدینہ چھوڑا یہ عورت رو رہی ہے, گریا کر رہی ہے. کہا بہن, تم نے ماں فاطمہ زہرا کے رونے کی آواز نہیں پہچانی. ماتم حسین